I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. These are the ones who survived the time of great distress. As John saw this multitude, he was going to be seeing the likes of Saint Felicity and Saint Perpetua, Saint Lawrence, all of his brother apostles. He would have seen Saint Thomas More, Saint Joan of Arc, Saint Stanislaus, more recent, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. They would have been almost at the forefront because they're all martyrs. Those who have survived that great distress of offering their lives in union with the one God who has offered His life for them. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now the thing is we can take any of those martyrs, but I think of like Maximilian Kolbe. He was in Auschwitz. And there was a moment in which one of the persons from their barracks escaped. The rule was if one person escaped, 10 had to die in place of them. The 10 were chosen. And one man broke down crying. And he simply pleaded with the commander saying, "I have a family. I have kids." And when Maximilian Kolbe heard that, he did the unthinkable. He stepped forward and went to the commander and simply said, "I will take his place." Such action deserved to be shot right there at that moment. The commander, stunned, said, "Well, who are you?" He simply responded, "That doesn't matter. I'm just a priest." The commander allowed him to where they were put into a little barrack for all 10 of them in a very small place where they couldn't even sleep. They had to stand because it was so tight and were starved to death. Except for Maximilian Kolbe and a few others with him that by the miraculous part of God were able to go even beyond that distress. And so in order to get rid of them faster, they put hydrochloric acid into their bodies by lethal injection. Now the thing is the only reason why I bring up his whole story is that for me internally, I'm wondering, Lord, how could that ever be done possible? How is that possible? How could he survive such a distress? I can't even survive the stress of my own pride or the stresses of the day. How are they able to do it? Because the thing is though, this is a great multitude of people. It's not just the martyrs. It's all those who will have the white martyrdom, who have been surviving the distress of the temptation of sin. Our own pride, our envy, our lust, our greed, our anger. You can go through all the capital sins. We know which ones we struggle with. We know those ones in which we have just this hard time overcoming. To which I just simply look and I see the example of any of the martyrs and think, how did they do it? How did they, as the gospel says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." How are they able to do it? It was when I was in prayer this week on this that it's the very next line. "No one can take them out of my hand." My brothers and sisters, each and every single one of you at this moment is being held in the hands of our Lord Jesus. And by being held in the hands of the Lord Jesus, we are being held in the hands of Almighty God the Father as well. It's as if together they are saying, "You are right here in my hands. I am providing for you." Because the Lord says at the very end of that first reading, that the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, even though they had suffered such persecution. Why? Because they're in the hands of God. They know that they belong to Him. As do you and I. We are His precious children. His most valuable daughters and sons. As we rest in His hands. The martyrs knew this. Father Capon, another one, understood this so well that when he was sick and they were carrying him off to the hospital, or so-called hospital, they were going to go let him die. And all of his companions in the prison camp were crying. He looked at them and says, "Don't cry for me. I'm going where I always wanted to go. I'm going to the Father in heaven." How could he respond in such a wonderful way? It's because he understood he was in the hands of God. That he was being held by Jesus himself. And that his precious blood was being poured over the martyrs and over us. We have to survive the times of distress. We all have them. Just because we're in the hands of God doesn't mean we're not going to be attacked. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted to get out of the hands of God. Like a child in the arms of a mother or a father, yes, they're resting there secure until they hear the nice flashy toy. And then they're like, "Ooh, what was that? Can I go play with that?" And they want to squirm and try to get out of that grasp. But the thing is, as the Lord says, no one can take them from my hands. The only one who can go out of His hands is ourselves. That if I choose to leave, just like the child choosing to leave the arms of a mother or a father to go play with the toy, so too is it I who choose to leave the hands of the Father. Or as the first reading says, to reject that very spot, that very grace. Because I'd rather chase my pride or my greed or whatever sin. Or that maybe it's the fear of failure that I don't realize where I am located in His very hands, or the stresses of work, that I don't recognize that Jesus is holding me up. My brothers and sisters, as we approach our Lord in this Eucharist, yes, John is recognizing St. Felicity and Perpetua, St. Thomas More, all of those martyrs. But he's also recognizing you, me. We are meant to be counted among this great multitude who have survived the great time of distress. Maybe not through a physical martyrdom, but through a spiritual martyrdom. A white martyrdom, as St. Thérèse of Lisieux called it. To where we understand that as we go through such martyrdom, such holiness, we don't do it alone. We do it held by the hands of God. Praise be Jesus Christ through His Mother Mary, now and forever. Amen.